book of Titus chapter 2, the book of Philippians chapter 3. Titus chapter 2, mark that for just a moment, and then let's go back into the book of Philippians chapter 3. I want to read you one verse there. One verse from Philippians chapter 3, and then we'll turn to Titus chapter 2. And as you're turning to those two places, which would be Titus chapter 2 and Philippians chapter 3, the title of our thought this morning would be, Admit One. Let me read to you Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. Again, notice the actual word that Paul uses is that our conversation, which means our citizenship, is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul talks about how that we look for the Savior. When I say admit one, let's go back to the book of Titus for just a minute. I don't want you to think it's the word admit like a confession. But you know, sometimes when they sell you tickets to venues, that they'll put a little phrase down there that says, this is to admit one. Which just simply means the price paid for that one ticket is only good for one person. Now this morning, I do not want to leave you with the idea there's only one person that's going to heaven and looking for the return of Jesus. What I am saying is, your salvation is only good for you. Which means admit one, that if you are saved and you are bound for heaven, there is nothing you can do for the person beside you. Now, I know that makes us feel kind of helpless and kind of lost because we want to help the people beside us, the people we live with, the people we work with, the people in our family, the people in our circle of friends. We want to do that. But let me be very clear this morning is that what Paul is going to talk about to young Titus is that our hope is in what we have ourselves and not what somebody else may have. Let's read Titus chapter 2. And I want to skip the Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. Oh, what a wonderful thought that is. He said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God. Not only is he a great God, he said, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The word looking in the very beginning of that 13th verse means to admit one. Now I want you to look at that verse again and I want you to think about admitting one in the very beginning of the 13th verse and only admitting one for that blessed hope. Again, I don't want you to think this morning we're saying only one person is going to heaven, but it means what you have is only good enough for you. Let me ask you something today. I'm not asking the person beside you, front of you, or behind you, the person you're seeing after church or you saw before church. I'm asking you today, are you looking for Jesus? Do you have a hope inside of you today? For the word hope just simply means that we are looking for this blessed hope. Not only do we anticipate or look for it, he said, but we are waiting for it to happen. There are many people in the world today that are separated from God and they do not have a hope. They don't have that. They're separated that. There are people here today, they don't have, and pardon the phrase this morning, they don't have a ticket that they're going to have the hope of looking towards the heaven. All they have is what they can get here in this life. Folks, today, God has provided what you need. He has purchased by the blood of his son Jesus what you need to have this hope that we can have in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, let's turn back and read for just a minute. This hope that we're reading about that Paul wrote to Titus, it's a hope that we have, and we can find peace and comfort and assurance, and we can find that in our hope that we have. You know, the hope which just means that your bad days, they're going to get better. The hope that just means that the things that we experience in this life, that one of these days, they're going to get left behind. But what about the person that is not saved today? Do they have, admit one, ticket? Do they have a hope? And the question is, if a person is not saved today, really and truly, what can they hope in? What is their confidence in? What is their trust in, folks? The greatest thing that we as saved people put our hope in is eternal life. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's get down to the 12th verse. That at that time. I love the idea that there was a time that you once were, but you're not now. You know what? There was a time in our life when we didn't have what we needed for that hope that we were going to go to heaven. We didn't have that. But how many of you this morning can say that you once were, but you're not now? Let me word that a little bit different. How many of you can say you once were lost, but now you're saved? Anybody? Folks, what a wonderful thought it is that you and I today, we do not have a worry over what death, hell, and the grave will do unto us. Why? Because we have a hope in God and a belief in Jesus Christ that at that time, how many of you this morning remember a time in your life when you were without Christ? Do you remember what that was like? Let me ask you something. I know I ask a lot of questions. Let me ask you something. How pleasant is it to live a life without Jesus? I remember very well. I was old enough that I was able to get in my car and I was able to drive. And I remember very well an absolutely numbing and paralyzing fear that I had upon myself, because I knew that if something happened to me and I died, hell is where I was going to spend eternity. Why? Because I was without Christ. Can I tell you something, folks, this morning that I hope you will agree with? There is a vast difference in living a life without Christ and living a life with Christ. A vast difference. But yet we live in a world that by the multitudes, people are living their life without Christ. And listen to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, that he said, looking for that blessed hope that we're reading about there in Titus. Ephesians, he said that there was at a time, he said, ye were without Christ. To be without Christ. Separated with the great gulf between you and God, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Being aliens, he said, from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, they were not welcomed. And what I mean by welcomed is they just felt like outsiders. You know what? If you're here today and you're not saved, I'm glad that you're here. I am thankful for, by the way, that's what the church is about. It's about anybody that wants to come in, that they can come and they can sit in the service and they can be a part. But let me tell you something, folks. There's a difference in people that want to spectate in a service versus those that want to be a part of a service. You know, we hear today, and whatever that we can render unto God, He is worthy of that. Whatever we can give unto God, He's worthy of that. But I want to drive this point home with you. How many of you remember a time in your life when you went to church and you just knew there was something different about what you had versus what they had? It was just something different. Why were those people so happy? Why were those people rejoicing? Why were tears coming out of their eyes? But yet they told you, I'm as happy as I've ever been in my life. Absolutely made no sense to me. Why did they cry when they were happy? I learned early in my life that there was such thing as tears of joy and tears of happiness. You know what, this morning I want you to know is that people that come into Shiloh Church, may they understand is that if they've not been saved, there is something different about God's people than they have. But here's the glorious part, that just because they're without Christ doesn't mean they have to stay without Christ. That they too can be a a part of the family of God, not being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They were just separated. They were shut out. They were strangers from the covenant of promise. What is the promise, God said? Go back to Genesis. Remember what God told unto Abraham? He said, you know that your seed, it's going to be multiplied like that of the stars that are in the sky. God made a promise. And the difference was they were on the outside of that promise. Now, let's pause right there for just a minute. What does it mean to be on the outside of a promise? It means basically the same thing as what we read earlier, being without Christ. You see, Abraham had faith in belief in God. Did he make his mistakes? Yes. But God still, through the unfaithfulness of Abraham, God still provided Abraham faithfully with the promise that he was going to give of a child. And because of that, and the faith that was going to happen, that his seed was going to be carried to mankind. And you know what today? If you're not saved and you've never had faith in Jesus Christ, you're on the outside. I don't know if that's a good way to put it, but you're on the outside. You're not part of that. But he said, strangers from the covenants of promise. People today are separated from God. They've never been saved by His grace, and they realize that there's something different. But here's what I want people to know is that you do not have to stay in that state. For notice what we read about here in Ephesians. They were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Remember what we read to you there in Titus? Looking for that blessed hope? Listen to what we read here in Ephesians. Having no hope and without God in the world. Real hope comes in Jesus Christ. Would you agree with that? If you remove Jesus today, what hope would any of us have here today? He said they were having no hope. Our text we read to you in Titus chapter 2 said, looking for that blessed hope. He said there are people today that are having no hope and without God in the world. What merit, maybe that's the way I should ask this, what merit or what good is it or how much peace do we have in our life to be without God? The very beginning of that verse said that you were without Christ. But there are some people that are not in that category, he said, then they were without God in the world. Folks, I thank God above that we can live our life with God with us. Now, if you go back and read when Jesus, when it was prophesied that he was going to be walk in the flesh, that he was going to be Emmanuel, Isaiah said. And Emmanuel means God with us. Well, you may say, well, preacher, you've missed out on the timeline of this. Jesus has come, he died, he rose again, and he ascended to heaven. But I'm telling you, if you are saved this morning, you have God with you. How do you have God with you? If you look at the third part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we have God with us. Do you have God with you today? And let me ask you this. This goes back to the question we asked earlier. Is there a difference in living a life with Christ and living one without Christ? Living with God versus without God. Living in with the Holy Spirit of God and without the Holy Spirit of God. Glory, hallelujah, this morning. We can live in this world with the Holy Spirit of God. Matter of fact, I'll even say this. I'm glad I don't have to live without the Holy Spirit of God. I'm glad it's a He that I don't have to live without Him. For there are people today that He said, without God in the world. What a great fear that many should have, that they are living their life without God. And here's the thing. Have you ever seen somebody driving down the road or they're doing something and they don't know that they're without or the door is open or whatever, they're without something? How many people today know that they're without God or don't know they're without God? And my whole point is this. A lot of people may want to disguise and mask it like they don't know they're without God, but I'm telling you, if you're lost, you will know that you're without God. If you've never been saved, there will come a point in your life that you will know that you're without God. If you're here and you're saved this morning, I'm going to ask you a question. Did you know that you were lost and separated from God? How did you know that? Did somebody come along and tap you on the shoulder and say, you're lost? Did maybe some sign begin to appear in the sky that just said, you're lost? Or was there a still small voice? Was there something inside of you that told you you were lost, you were alienated, you were separated from God, and you were without Christ? I'll tell you this, for me, I don't know, it was probably about 7, 8, 9 years. I don't remember how long it was, but I do know this. That was a miserable time in my life when I was without God. You know what? I thank God that only the short time that I went without Him, people go the entire life without God. Folks, we get to have an experience with Him, for there are a lot of people, He said, that are without God in the world. Without God. What does that mean that they're without God? Without God is, the word that we use is the word atheist for that. You know, there are many atheists in the church house of God, even this very hour. What is an atheist? A person that does not believe in God. I didn't say the existence of God, but does not believe in God. Folks, if you've believed in Jesus and you've trusted in Jesus, you get saved. But there's many people around the world today, they're not atheists in their minds. They believe that there's a God, but in their heart, they have not believed. Read John chapter 14, believe in God, believe also in me. Today, folks, I'm not asking you you're an atheist by your belief. I'm asking you, what about are you in your heart today? Have you believed and trusted in Jesus? For here in the book of Titus chapter 2, he said that we are looking for that blessed hope. Do you know where Paul was when he was writing this letter to young Titus? He was in jail. He was already sentenced by Nero to death. You know what? I believe that you can look at Paul and you can say, Paul, you're sentenced to death. But he still said, I am not looking at my execution. He said, I'm looking at my hope that waits me. So many people get caught up in what's going on right in front of them. If you told me that I had an execution right in front of me, I probably could not see beyond that. But aren't you glad this morning that God gives us the means and the ability that we can look beyond the grave, that there's a hope that we have? How many of you today are looking for that blessed hope? For he said, looking for that blessed hope. But listen to what he also says, the great God and our Savior. How many of you are looking to the clouds today? How many of you woke up this morning and just said, you know what, God? This could be the day that Jesus comes riding in on the clouds. This could be the day. Well, is it going to be? There's nothing that says it cannot be. Folks, if this is the day that you take your last breath, if this is the day that Jesus returns, do you have a blessed hope? Let's just word that a little bit different. Do you have that admit one? Do you have that which is purchased for you and for you only? Have you had your own experience? I'm not asking the person beside you or maybe in front or behind or you saw this morning or you will see this afternoon. I'm asking you today, do you have what it takes to look beyond the execution of Nero? Paul wrote many letters from a prison cell. You might say because he had time, but I think the idea is that God, and he told, matter of fact, in one of his letters, you can read in Philippians, he said that God brought him into that prison cell for a reason. You know what today? I'm thankful today that when we get brought into the circumstances of our life, that God allows us to look beyond them. Folks, let me tell you something about every child of God this morning that you already know. One day, folks, there is nothing going to keep us from gathering in the very presence of Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I just said? That there is absolutely nothing that is going to stop us from gathering at the very feet of Jesus. Why? Because I have an admit one. I wish I could take my ticket and give it to you, but it's only good enough for me. Or others, are they able to be saved? Absolutely. But I only have what's good enough for me. And you know what? One of these days, my old body is going to slumber in death. I'm looking for that blessed hope, and to enter into heaven, you got to have something. Preacher, what does this admit? One, you got to have. Folks, you got to have the blood of Jesus Christ if you want to go to heaven. You got to have the blood of Jesus. That's what you got to have. And it's good for you. It's good for all of us. But you can only get what you stand in need of. Listen to what Paul talked about. He said, we are looking for that blessed hope. How many of us look at the clouds and say, Lord, is this the day? How many of you get in your vehicle thinking, Lord, is this the day that I'm leaving this life? How many of you lay down at night saying, Lord, is this the night you're going to take me while I lay here in my sleep? I don't know if this is good or not, but you know, a lot of times I think about, Lord, is this the last time I'm going to lay my head on this pillow? For I know this, folks. One of these days I will close my eyes in a physical sleep, but I shall awaken in a glorious place one day. I know that's going to happen. Why? My hope that we're reading about today, we are looking for. The word looking for means to anticipate it, to wait for it. You know, a lot of people hope that they're going to heaven. That's not the hope he's talking about. We are waiting, knowing that it's going to happen. Looking for. We're in the position, we're looking, and we anticipate him coming. Looking for that blessed hope. Let me ask you this. The word blessed just means a happy hope. If I was to tell you that you were going to leave this world today, is that going to make you happy or sad? If I told you you were leaving this world today, you're going to take your last breath, are you going to be happy or are you going to be sad? I know one of the immediate answers we have, well, we don't want to leave our family behind, and I get that. That's where the sadness comes in about those that we leave behind. But can I tell you about something that we leave behind? They too are going to get a chance to go to heaven one day. We are going to leave this world. I don't know when. I don't know how. I just know one of these days we're leaving here. And today, if this is the day that you see that God sees fit, are you happy? Do you find that blessed hope, a happiness and a joy that one day that we're going to close our eyes in death? And folks, let me just say this. We don't have a choice. It's not something we can disagree with it, or we cannot desire to talk about it. But the truth is today, we all are going to die. Now, the Lord may come back or we may die, but one way or another, we're leaving this old world. And he talks about how that we have a blessed hope. We put our hope and our confidence in a lot of things, but look at what we have in Jesus Christ. For he said, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, there's something I believe that we can say, that we don't have a hope if you take Jesus Christ out of it. We don't have that hope. That's what Paul's talking about. We don't have that. The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Every year at Christmas, we celebrate Jesus being born in a manger, a cave, or where the animals were. He didn't come like a king, did he? You mean to tell me that a king would be born where the animals are born? That's not much of a heavenly king coming down to redeem mankind. Jesus reminds us his kingdom's not of this world. In other words, we have to look forward to an eternal kingdom. I want to tell you something. Next time Jesus comes, he's not coming in a manger. The next time that Jesus comes, he's not going to come and be equal with the animals. I believe he's coming back as king. I believe he's coming back to rule. And he's going to rule and reign over sin, folks. He's going to cast sin in the eternal punishment of a place called hell. And he is going to reign and rule. And guess what? I'm going to be right there at his feet. You want to talk about a front row ticket? People want to buy tickets to, they can be the possessed position that they can to an event. Do you know what? Every one of us as children of God, if you've got an admit one and that blessed hope comes, you're going to find yourself at the best seat in the house. You know where the best seat in the house is? At the feet of Jesus. That's where I'm going to be, folks. You want to find me one day? You want to talk about a rallying point? Where am I going to be when I get to heaven? You can walk here or you can walk over there. You find Jesus, and that's where the children of God will be. What a glorious thought that we have today, that we've got the best seat in the house, that we're going to get into heaven. And Paul talked about that we have this blessed, he said, this appearing of the great God. Can you imagine when Jesus says, "Enter in, thou good and thou faithful servant"? He said, "You've got what you need. You've got what it takes to enter into heaven." He said, "You've got the blood of Jesus." Aren't you glad today to know that we can have what we need at the appearing of the great God? Man, I got to hurry along. But you know, inside of this verse that we read to you here in Titus, the blessed hope and glorious appearing, all this is intertwined into the one person, Jesus Christ. He is our hope. It's not just a circumstance, but that hope is also in a person. But he says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the absolute only one that can save us from what we stand in need of being delivered from. For I want to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 24 for just a minute. What are you looking for today? If I was to tell you that there was a snake on the porch or something, you'd probably walk outside and you'd start looking for it. If I told you there was money on the ground, maybe you went looking for the money on the ground. If I told you there was an eclipse, maybe you'd get you some glasses and start looking at the eclipse. Whatever you want to think. If I told you there was something, you would go looking for it. I know people are looking, but the question is, what are they looking for? Matthew chapter 24. Let me read to you verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But you know this, that in the goodman of the house, if the goodman of the house had known in that which watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. But listen to that 42nd verse. Watch therefore. Sometimes we overthink how hard this is. You know what? All he said to do was just look. Just look. Put your eyes in a place. Don't sleep. Don't slumber. That's what Matthew chapter 25 talks about. People that were not prepared when the bridegroom comes. Are you prepared for that? Here he simply gives them this commandment. He said, watch. He said, if you watch today, you're going to have to watch and you're going to have to watch faithfully. Let me ask you this. If you was to watch something for 20 out of 24 hours, do you know when the thief's going to come? Probably during those 4 hours you're asleep. My fear is people watch for the Lord Sunday morning from 10 o'clock to about 1 o'clock. After that, they're ready to go about their lives. You know what happens? And tell me if this ever happens to you. Do you ever feel like that the world comes in and tries to distract us from watching? You ever felt like that maybe the world comes in and lures us into so many things that we can get distracted? Do you know how sometimes that an invasion can happen or a robbery can occur? It's not so much that the person is asleep or out of their post, but they are distracted. Can I tell you something today? Don't get distracted from your watch. Keep your eyes upon the skies. The world's going to try to distract you. Oh, but this is fun. Or let's go do that. Or what about this? We get distracted. And all of a sudden we got our eyes and we're looking in all these different places. And all of a sudden coming in behind us, the thief comes in and he steals. He said, watch therefore. Watch therefore. Some of you could probably tell me better than I would be able to speculate myself, but if you're in the military and you're asked to be on watch, what would happen if you were asleep on your watch? What would happen? What happens if you're in charge, you're watching, and you were to sleep? You have not only made yourself vulnerable to an attack, but all the others are also. May we understand today that we all have to watch and be careful. He said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord may come. He's talking about a future event that's going to happen. We're looking to the sky for an event that is going to transpire. And that's why he said, watch therefore, for he said, ye know not. I'm not trying to belittle your knowledge today, but I can tell you something you don't know. I can tell you right now, this is not a riddle. I can tell you something right now you do not know. You know what that is? You don't know when the Lord's going to come back. I can tell you with a fact, you do not know when you're going to take your last breath. You don't know that. We may speculate, we may even have some theories and ideas, but you do not know. For he said, ye know not. For he said that your Lord may come. Are we ready for that hour if he was to come today? Are we ready for that hour if this is the very moment that he sees fit to come? For Titus chapter 2, and also there in the book of Philippians was very close to this, but Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 said, looking for that blessed hope. Looking just means that admit one. I have what I need for one, and that's where I find my blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you have Jesus? God bless you this morning. That's the things I felt like I needed to share with you and relay to you, and I'm praying that God works in you. If you're here this morning and God's working, I ask you just to listen to Him. Let's get a song if we could.